From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today we're talking about the Trump administration's funding freeze that caused nationwide confusion among government officials and nonprofit leaders. It began Monday with a memo from Trump's budget office. The memo ordered a pause on most grants and loans, money that helps fund everything from meal delivery to homebound senior citizens to preschool programs for disadvantaged children. By Tuesday, there were lawsuits and a court order blocking the memo. And on Wednesday, the Trump administration pulled it back. Sort of. We'll get into that later. This would have been a very big deal had it proceeded, and the administration has said its work to eliminate so-called woke spending will continue. So we are spending the show today diving into what happened and what it would have and could still mean for Illinois. We begin with Illinois' top fiscal officer, the controller, Susana Mendoza. A Democrat who's been in office since 2017, she's responsible for making sure Illinois pays its bills on time. In order to accommodate her schedule, I spoke with her Wednesday afternoon. Controller Mendoza, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with where things stand now. And again, we're taping Wednesday afternoon, so things are moving fast with this story. But can you just describe the immediate effect this funding freeze had on Illinois? You know, what was at stake for the state when those funds were suddenly put on hold?
Well, the immediate threat was that people would not be paid for critical services rendered in basically every bucket you can think about in state governance, not just here in Illinois, but across the country. It caused immediate and unnecessary confusion, chaos, and many individuals, frankly, panic. The situation continues to be basically as clear as mud. When I first heard about the letter that was sent out, the executive order, I honestly thought it was a joke with this insane executive order of rescinding federal funding or freezing it, which no one in their right mind would do. And then it turned out that soon afterwards, it was confirmed as this is legitimately coming from the president of the United States. And so the chaos was very real. In fact, when the executive order said that the freeze would happen at 5 p.m. Eastern time the following day, you can imagine that every state financial officer or governor and every hospital president and Veterans Affairs coordinator, like everyone was in disbelief and thinking this can't be real. And then most importantly, the following day, looking at how many Medicaid bills, for example, were pending so that we could make sure that those bills could get reimbursed before the executive order kicked in supposedly at 5 p.m. And it turns out that first thing in the morning, the entire country was shut out of the Medicaid portal. Now, the original executive order talked about Social Security and Medicare being exempted from this freeze. But if they wanted Medicaid to be exempted, they would have put that in the original executive order. So clearly, Medicaid was on the chopping block. And I don't believe that the Trump administration realized or thought this through to the extent of what the pushback would be. And not just from Democrats, but from Republicans and every American across America who's impacted by the devastation that happens with freezing federal funds. You're talking about funds for veterans care, for law enforcement, for medical care. And I'll remind you that disability and disease does not choose political party affiliations. These are Americans from all walks of life, from all political affiliations, who were traumatized yesterday. Some people weren't able to make payroll that day yesterday because of being shut out of the system. And it's costing the state of Illinois potentially $100 million a day in reimbursements should this freeze continue. Now, I wish I could tell you that even with the judge saying that this freeze is no longer happening through Monday, that the system is working the way it's supposed to, because even though the administration has now put the payment system back on track, like we still haven't been reimbursed for the $12 million that we sent out to safety net hospitals, hoping to get that reimbursement. So we're still trying to determine if in fact we will receive that federal reimbursement, which should be about $6 million. But I can report back to you maybe tomorrow if that's been approved, and that'll give me a little bit more comfort. But this is very concerning, again, not just in Illinois, but across the country. And the fear that was caused by this freeze announcement, very real, and it makes me wonder what is coming next from Washington.
Again, as we were taping, you mentioned the federal judge, and then the Trump administration responded by saying they were rescinding this memo, and yet the Trump spokeswoman gets on Twitter or X and says, oh, we're not actually changing anything. We're withdrawing the memo, but the executive orders remain in effect. And they say that they're still focused on eliminating quote unquote woke spending. Talk about the uncertainty that this creates. And, you know, are there specific programs that you're worried are still at risk?
Well, of course. And again, you just made my original point here. I know I spoke for a long time, but here's the reality. It is still what's clear is that it's as clear as mud. So they're speaking out of both sides. They're feeling the pushback and saying, oh, no, Medicaid isn't affected. But, you know, the judge has now said there's a temporary restraining order through Monday. We revoked the OMB, but the executive order still stays in place. You can't have it both ways. So which is it? Everyone continues to be confused. There's zero clarity. There's zero guidance on how we're supposed to proceed. And again, this is something that is affecting Americans all across this country. This is truly unprecedented. And besides creating panic among residents and providers, it makes you wonder what is next. To your point, this terminology that they keep using, it's to create division, it's to confuse people. And, you know, it does put so many people's lives at risk. You know, what they consider woke ideology, I mean, I just even hate that word. Most of the funds that federal dollars go to are to really important things like providing school breakfast and lunches to poor students across America. If you go into rural areas, for example, of Illinois, most of those areas are Republican. Those children come from conservative families, but they need resources that the federal government works with us to provide their children. And so this should not be political in any way, shape, or form. Sick people getting access to surgical care or medical care. You know, why should we care if they're Democrats or Republicans? We should just care that they're Americans and that our country is here to take care of our most vulnerable. If we do nothing else right as a country, we should be providing for our most vulnerable constituents. And I could not care less what political ideology they have. And so, look, I understand playing politics during election season. But once you win, we get the privilege of representing everyone, not just the people that voted for us, but just as importantly, those who did not. And so what this is doing is really pitting groups of people against each other when we should be trying to unify the country and make sure that the resources that taxpayers pay, that we send to our federal government through taxes, get reinvested in things that make people's lives better. And this should not be controversial at all. I totally agree that we should always be looking to find efficiencies in government, to cut wasteful spending. But even if that's what their intention could have been, which I don't believe it's, you know, that cut and dry honorable, but if you wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt, this is certainly not the way to go about it. It was a clear masterclass in incompetency yesterday, and it continues to move forward as we see all this confusion, all this panic happening. I've gotten phone calls from hospital administrators, literally in a panic, wondering what's going to happen to their hospital if they were to lose federal funding. And all I can tell you is I'm going to continue to try to provide calm. I tell people that we are monitoring this very, very closely. We're doing everything we can. And I, as controller, am doing everything within my power to make sure that our providers continue to receive their funding as quickly as humanly possible, that they have stability and predictability in their payments so they can focus on the job of providing care to people who need it.
On the other hand, isn't this what a majority, but at least a plurality of Americans voted for, right? They wanted somebody to disrupt the federal government and do things differently. Isn't there a way of looking at this? Well, that's certainly what happens or what is happening. Maybe the American voters should get what they wanted in this election.
I would say be careful what you wish for, right? Because again, I'm a person who has a record, a proven record of delivering results, of creating efficiencies, of providing better service at lower taxpayer cost. You know, I've helped shepherd through 9 credit upgrades, which means we're saving taxpayers money whenever we do need to access resources, because I truly value the hard work of our taxpayers. Again, I don't care what political party they're from. I represent them, and it's my privilege and honor. So I have a record of looking for creating government efficiencies and trying to stretch the value of every taxpayer dollar as best as I can. I think that's what people want. So to your point about, do they want a disruption of the way things maybe have been done in the past and a better way of doing it? I could agree. Like, I talk about creating efficiencies all the time. Having said that, no one benefits from chaos and confusion and panic and, you know, clear as mud guidance. No one benefits from that. It certainly hurts the very people who want to see efficiencies. So yes, clearly people voted for a change, but I don't think they voted for chaos and instability. And, you know, it's easy to say we should cut stuff until people realize that it's their child's cancer treatment that just got cut because it was federally funded. Do you see what I mean? So yes, we all want efficiency. I certainly do. I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but I'll speak for myself and what my track record has been in politics. It's always been about providing better service at lower taxpayer cost, honoring the taxpayer's dollar. But we don't honor our taxpayers when we put in danger, for example, veterans care services or medical care or law enforcement. How does that make our streets safer? We just want to make sure that the money that's being spent, it's being spent in the best way possible. And it's fair to question that. It's fair to, when they're crafting next year's budget, you know, do a deep dive on programming and say, is this the best use of money? What's not fair is that once those budgets have been approved by Congress, which is their legislative right to do, it's their obligation to have a new president come in and break that contract. Number one, it's illegal. Number two, it really is unconscionable to inject this kind of instability and lack of predictability into, you know, the American people's psyche. And number three, I think I said it's unconstitutional, right? I said it's illegal, it's wrong, and it's unconstitutional. And I believe that it will be held up as unconstitutional in the courts. Having said that, though, it means people are going to be fighting this out legally, and that's going to take time. And in the meantime, critical services that require federal funds are going to have to potentially be scaled back or not going to be reimbursable. And that will throw a huge hole in every single state's economy if this were to continue for longer than it already has.
Just a couple of minutes left in our time together. What, for people who rely on these federally funded programs, you know, one in four Illinoisans is on the Medicaid program, childcare, housing assistance. What is your message to them? Can they feel secure, or should they be bracing for more uncertainty?
I would say we need to stay calm, but we are doing our best as your elected leaders to stand up against this. Our Attorney General in Illinois specifically has joined, Attorney General Kwame Raoul has joined a litany of other attorney generals across this country to challenge this executive order. They have been successful in getting a judge to give a temporary reprieve of it. And they're gonna continue to fight this out so that we can continue to provide those resources and hopefully get those reimbursements. I do believe that it will ultimately get worked out. The bigger question is what's going to happen moving forward. This is just like day two of this. You know, I think they should speak up, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, or you have no political affiliation. It doesn't matter. If you're living and breathing in the United States of America, and certainly as an Illinois resident, and you know someone or have someone in your family, or you yourself are impacted by anything that the federal government touches in terms of the services. You have children with autism. You have a surgery that has to be done because you're a Medicaid patient. You have a family member who falls into that bucket. You have a loved one who's a veteran. Their services have been cut now as a result of this. And so it's fair to take a look at how we spend our money, but it's not fair to pull the rug out from under the American people after those contracts have already been signed, services have already been rendered. And it puts people's lives literally in jeopardy. Now's the time to speak up. Call your federal representatives. Make sure that this shouldn't be a political issue. This should not be a divisive issue. This is just about what's best for the American people. And that's the message, is we're fighting for you. We're going to make sure. I will tell you as your controller that, you know, we were running things well, as best as possible here financially. We were perfectly set up, you know, having paid off all our Medicaid bills. But moving forward, my job isn't to panic. My job is to provide calm and to make sure that I'm doing everything I can, which I will continue to do, to make sure that I stand up for you, that I make the voice heard of all the people that I represent, all of them in the state of Illinois. And what's best for you is to make sure that we continue to provide stability and predictability in all of those buckets where we are partners with the federal government in providing those services. So, you know, keep calm, but, you know, don't be naive. I think we have to strap in for a difficult ride ahead.
Controller Susana Mendoza, thank you for sharing your perspective with us on the 21st show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, we are going to continue this conversation after a short break. We're going to open the phones. We are going to be back live in a couple of minutes here. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. What questions do you have about this? Do you think this is a reasonable way to pursue the Trump administration's goal of eliminating, as it says, woke and wasteful spending? And especially if this would have affected you or an organization you're part of, we'd love to hear your story. Again, 800-222-9455. More to come. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.